funny thing. It's inevitable.
Unchangeable. Oh, we're going to start like this, aren't we?
Immovable.
You're going to get me there at 6:01.
At the end of a tunnel, and we're all just along for the ride. Unless it's not set in stone. Maybe when our dreams feel just out of reach, destiny is a blank page in an open book.
Everything happens for a reason. You can't really control it. I'm a guy that just wants to run through somebody's face.
A story being constantly rewritten, where anything is possible.
I was 199. What do you do when you get there?
Say whatever you want, but look at these diamonds on these fingers.
Fate can turn on a dime.
The doorstep of NFL history.
It can slip right through your fingers.
The ball was dropped. Hit him in the head.
It bounces unpredictably between heartache and triumph. But the thing about fate is,
here we go, Jim.
It's always up for grabs.
Every day's gotta be our first day.
Big boy sport.
Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
Down after down, game after game, Sunday after Sunday. Fate plays out before our very eyes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
We get to watch.
Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Chiefs threw an interception on their last drive. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in at running back. Throwing from his own end zone. Rushy Rice at the 20. Angling right side 30. Angling across the 40-yard line. Rushy Rice up to the 41 and a gain of 37 yards on a post pattern against Dean Marlowe. First and 10, Chiefs at their own 41. Three tight ends lined up accordion style to the right side. They stay in the block. Bell chip blocking. Now pass caught. 40-yard line wide open. 30 at the 25 to the 20. This is Kelsey 15, 10, and gets tackled at the 5-yard line of the Chargers. One of the longest plays of Travis Kelsey's career. 53 yards from Mahomes to Kelsey. The Chargers lose Kelsey again. Kelsey's in the backfield as an H-back. They're going to fake the handoff. Now they're going to go on a pass inside and dragging into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City! And the Chiefs get the touchdown with a little bit of a formation trickery. And the 50th time that Travis Kelsey has caught a touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, if you're not there right now, baby. There you go, Mac. Way to get the people hard. That's what you do to start a Friday on a Red Friday, hash brown Chiefs flag Friday at McDonald's.
I'm hard.
How crowded are the McDonald's this morning, man? How packed are McDonald's this morning with everybody getting their flags? If you're in line at McDonald's, call us and then bring us a hash brown. Extra fancy ketchup.
That's all Bob wants. That's all you need.
No, it's true. The hash brown from McDonald's is pure bliss. I mean, it's wonderful, right?
Chef's kiss.
Oh, it's fantastic. Everybody tries to create the hash brown. Nobody creates the hash brown like McDonald's.
They're so good, Bob. You could spit on my hash brown. And still
I wouldn't
eat it.
Do that. I'm a man, right? I am an actual man. Okay, men do not spit on other men. Losers, jerks.
That's
dweebs,
assault, brother.
I mean, like you don't do that kind of stuff, man. Like spitting on another man is arguably the lowest thing that you can do to another gentleman. I mean, just is. I mean, other than some of the stuff we talked about, that's just not feasible for the most part, you would hope, right? Like somebody throwing some feces in your face. But this guy
that's the next lowest of the low.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like, literally poo to the face.
Right. That's it. There's nothing else. You spit in the face of another man, you have just demeaned that human being. And you had asked me, you're like, what if somebody spits on you? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I would freeze at first. Like, I would be like stunned that somebody did that. And by the time I got my wherewithal around me, I don't know what I'd do in that situation, man.
119th and null.
That's true. Yeah, you know, like 119th, you're really gonna hate the Legends, I tell you. But in all seriousness, though, like Jalen Carter needs to be suspended. That's as 100%. Low as you can go, and hopefully he's suspended in time where he doesn't play here next weekend at Arrowhead Stadium. I'm not saying I want him out because I think the Chiefs have a better opportunity to win. We're suspending guys in the NFL for doing things all the time off the field. That was your national television game. That was like the first thing that we saw of the NFL season was another human being spitting in the face of another human being. And because of that, because everybody was watching and everybody saw it, Goodell needs to stop tending bar down in Brazil and suspend this guy immediately and see what happens, because you just don't do that kind of stuff. And, you know, the claim that, you know, Dak Prescott spit first. I mean, come on now. I mean, guys are spitting on the field all the time. This was right in the face of this guy, right in this gentleman's face, Jalen Carter spit. I'm like, I'm surprised he didn't get popped, but I'm also understanding, like, Dak Prescott was probably as stunned as I would have been if somebody did that to me.
Is that what the text line says, that Dak spit first? You guys didn't see the video? Dak spit first?
Dak did it first.
Yeah, Dak did it. Of course. But he didn't spit in the face of another guy. He was spitting off to the side or, you know, towards the offensive line, whatever it was. It wasn't like he didn't walk up to him, get in his face and spit.
And hock a loogie in his chest.
I mean, it was like the Hawk Tua girl came to the game last night. Yeah.
Yep.
Right there. I mean, it's the Hawk Tua girl. That's all it is.
Yeah, good thing he's never done anything wrong before.
I know, so he's
his first defense.
This guy, this guy's sucks. A menace, man. He really is.
Yeah,
like he's lucky to be in the league.
He's a bad guy.
He is. No, he is. He's a bad guy. With the stuff that he did at Georgia, with the driving and all of that kind of stuff, he's lucky to be in the NFL. Grateful that he was a top 10 draft pick in the NFL too, right? Getting paid. And you would think when you've been through stuff like that, like Rashi Rice, as far as we know, has learned, right? This guy has become mature, realized he made a mistake. I ain't doing that again. Jalen Carter doesn't understand that he made a mistake with the driving, got lucky to be in the league. Like, that's the fundamental problem that I have with the way that we treat athletes. We allow them to get away with things, which makes them feel like they can get away with everything. And Jalen Carter really was never punished for what he did at Georgia with the driving, and then it spills over into the NFL and he's spitting in a guy's face. Like, they've got to suspend Jalen Carter, because if they don't, he's just going to keep pushing the envelope.
Well, it'll help the Chiefs out.
For a snap. Here he goes. He walks there in front of Dak Prescott. Did he spit? Did he spit on him?
He shot.
Stunned.
I think he did.
There you go.
And the official was right there to throw the flag.
Oh, boy, what a night to the NFL. You get spitting ejections, and then you get a lightning delay. And then
which I went to bed
points.
On. Yeah,
you didn't miss anything.
No, I know I didn't.
That was it.
I woke up this morning and looked at the final. I'm like, damn, I didn't miss a thing. Like, after that lightning delay, they had some Uncrustables. Great reporting by NBC. And nothing else happened after that. Now, of course, a lot of that didn't happen because CeeDee Lamb has got bricks for hands in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're a $100 million wide receiver, bro. You need to make those plays.
Tough night.
To make those plays, man, especially that crossing pattern where it hit him right in the chest.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like, that's one right there. Like, you know, I'm not a Dakota Prescott fan at all in this. But Dakota Prescott ought to punch him and spit in CeeDee Lamb's face, because that cost Dakota Prescott a win over the Philadelphia Eagles last night. And that was a dart that he threw on that crossing pattern. Like, CeeDee Lamb, you're making $100 million, dude. You got to make those plays.
What do you get a load of this?
Well, I mean, we all want better results, for sure. I mean, that's something, you know, it's a results-based industry. But, I mean, you still have to bank on the fact that, you know, however, you know, he's had four or five rough starts and 30 to 40 good ones for us. You know, I mean, it's the body of work has spoken for itself. Obviously, we've invested heavily in him going forward. And he's somebody that we, quite frankly, we need to have better results if we are going to succeed, not only this year, but in the future. So, you know, they work extremely hard after every start on figuring out what didn't work or what did work. And as you guys know, Seth, you know, has executed at a high level for a long time. So, I mean, at some point this is going to even out and come back to the norm for him. So I'm hoping that's his next outing.
So that was Manager Matt Cotrero on the show Wednesday when you asked, you know, Seth Lugo, bad couple rough starts here. Is everything all right? Is his health okay? Said they were just going to, you know, evaluate. Look, he threw some either short toss, long toss. Either way, he was tossing the ball around yesterday. Said he still felt discomfort in his back, and the option was to put him on the 10-day IL. Mm-hmm. Seth Lugo will miss his next start. Now the Royals have three rookie pitchers in their staff, three veterans on the deal.
Yeah, it's clear as day the guy was hurt. And that's why I asked the questions that I asked to Cutrero. It was clear that this guy was hurt. And they didn't say that he was hurt. Oh, he's going to be okay and all this kind of stuff. That's when you put your team in jeopardy, when you are not 100% and you're trying to gut it out. Give Lugo credit for trying to gut this thing out. But, I mean, we could all see since July, right? June, July, whenever it was, right?
His last eight starts, seven of them were putrid.
Awful, right? Like, I'm not a stat nerd, but I got eyes. I can see that Seth Lugo wasn't where he needed to be. And they were trying to hide it, obviously, and trying to gut this thing out. He was trying to gut this thing out. And athletes do that all the time. But there are certain times where you got to say, I got to wave the white flag here. I can't continue to put my team in jeopardy like that. And after we had suggested, you know, skipping a start to Q, they skipped the start and then placed him on the DL. So I wonder how long they were planning on that before we brought it up on the show. Or did we bring it up on the show and they just decided to go ahead and do that? I'd like to think we played a little bit of a role
Dr.
in
Bob.
That. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you could see Seth Lugo was not right. And it took eight starts before they said, okay, something is definitely not right with Seth Lugo. And so now you're going down the stretch of, what, 23 games to go or whatever it was. And you mentioned, yeah, three rookies in the rotation who've all pitched well. I mean, look, every guy they put in the rotation has done a nice job. But you'd like to have Seth Lugo for the stretch run. You'd like to have your number one guy, you know, for that stretch run of the season. And if it's a back injury, I hate the fact that they signed him to a $47 million contract and the back's, you know, barking now. That sucks.
Royals win last night. Four solo home runs. Frazier, Pasquantino, Salvador Perez. Three homers away from
three,
your milestone.
Three to go, baby. Three to go.
Three away from your milestone. What, like
three
six
home
RBIs?
Runs? And no, I think four RBIs. Four RBIs?
Okay. We'll get there. And then Bobby Witt Jr. does it for everybody the night after he is, you know, not himself the night before. Royals win last night. They are now two games out of the wild card spot. The rest of the show is dedicated to those guys that wear red, that play football in Brazil. We break down the entire game. We've got loaded guests today. Carrington Harrison joins the show to talk border war. Cody Tapp joins the show for the round table at the end of the show. We got Mitch Holtis on the show as well. Am I missing anybody
else? Josh coming up at 6:30.
Coming up at 6:30 to talk about Brazil.
Sean Smith
coming on the show to talk about.
He's been ready since February to come on the show.
Can't wait to ask Sean Smith. What would you do if a grown man spit on your chest?
Oh, that's the topic for Sean Smith. I mean, there's literally nothing else.
Button ready.
Let me tell you what I do.
Knock that mother. All right, Sean. Thank you very much.
Just remind Sean when you call him, you can't say the F word on the radio, okay?
It's all Red Kingdom. Every top of the hour, you'll hear Max Great Intro that we played with highlights of the Chiefs. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
What am I talking about? 13 hours. 0 days.
Less than 13 hours now. We're 12 hours, 50 minutes away. Almost 12 hours, 49 minutes away.
If we're doing soccer hours, we're in the seventh hour.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Soccer takes a little bit of time to understand. Red Kingdom, Chiefs Kingdom. Chiefs play football tonight in Brazil. 7 o'clock, 4 o'clock is when it starts on this airwaves today. So you'll be juiced up, ready to go. I'm sure none of you in this town are paying any iota to anybody that's saying anything at your job today.
Right. Yeah.
You're doing what we're doing. All right. We got 3 hours and 40 minutes until we walk out of the door. Yep. Enjoy the beautiful weather. And oh, is that a cocktail?
Yeah, that's exactly. Dusty's like, man, this show's going to fly by. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. Like, I'm ready for this game. The more I think about guys. Yeah. Like I'm getting goosebumps right now sitting here at 6:20 in the morning talking about the first game of the NFL season. And the reason I am, because I know what we're going to see, and it's going to be glorious, right? We're going to see the aerial attack. We're going to see Travis Kelce in his final year having fun. We're going to see Mahomes try to exact revenge on the entire world, literally on the world stage tonight and on international YouTube and all of that kind of stuff. Like, that's why I'm so excited for this, because it's been a long winter, right? It's been a long spring. It's been a long summer since the Chiefs finally, you know, played a game. What was it, back in February? And they weren't real good that day, right?
Right.
And so now they got a better team. They've got revenge. They've had all these months, just like all of us, of developing that revenge and getting ready to go out there and smack the Los Angeles Chargers right upside the head, man. And it's going to be so much fun tonight to sit back, because I'll tell you, I know a lot of stuff going on. It's Friday night. We had high school football. You know, they did their thing last night, which was fantastic. Got that out of the way. So
smart ADs, man.
They
knew yesterday was going to be the most beautiful day weather-wise in the whole entire calendar year. You could not be yesterday. It was the number one seed weather-wise.
Yeah, it was.
Not even kidding.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I watched my oldest daughter play tennis yesterday on the field right behind her. My youngest daughter was cheerleading. Went and sat and had a sandwich with Jerry in a meeting last
Hello,
night.
America.
Nice. Got home and watched watched a little bit of the game last night. But
Hello, America.
You're just thinking Godfather. The whole time about, all right, I got to get the Friday night, night. Like I said, a lot of people are busy. A lot of crap going on tonight, right? Do not miss the beginning of the game, because I have a feeling, man, if you miss the beginning of the game, you may miss the biggest firework display that we see. So get to your YouTube however you possibly can and get ready for this one, man. Revenge begins tonight.
That's right, baby. 7 o'clock, 4 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. Going to have another beautiful day today. I'm sure all of you are zooted, bleeding red, having a great time.
How's McDonald's? Do we get any updates from McDonald's today?
Anybody got your flag? We need to know if you have your flag.
And if they've run out already, too, because I know how Chiefs Kingdom is when it comes to the flags, man. They're gone. 6:30, we're out. No more.
Of course. Yeah, McDonald's and Raymore, the line's out on the street.
Nice.
About to be 158 Highway.
Oh, shout out Raymore.
Hey,
baby.
Raymore. Yeah, let's keep sending in the updates. Yes. You want to call in from line and tell us what's going on?
Yeah.
Please do.
And then tell us what you're getting for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give us your breakfast
Make
order.
It's chicken. It's chicken.
Yeah.
No, it's hash browns. And
McDonald's,
it's fish.
Over there in Olathe, 12 cars deep right
Let's
now.
Go.
Nice. Let's go. There you go. So both sides of the state line. Yeah, I like that.
There's a call there right there for you. But yeah, stand up Olathe, stand up Ray Peck. You guys are here with us.
Grab
on
that
Chiefs
phone call. Let's see who's calling in.
Get your Chiefs flag at McDonald's. Tell us your order and get zooted for the Chiefs game. But it is in Brazil. I've been surprised, to be honest with you, of how many people travel to go to this game. A lot of Chiefs Kingdom there. Now, I know there are locals there that are probably
sure.
Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift fans. That's just what it is,
mm-hmm.
right? She's global. She's worldwide. Matthew, what's going on, man? Where are you at?
I'm headed to work from Independence going to Grandview.
And you went to McDonald's?
I did. I waited in line, and they told me that they did not accept cash outside. So I went over and got some cash out and then went back and got them.
So was cash quicker? But, like, you could skirt the line if you had cash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great tip.
And then what was your order? Did you get anything or just the flag?
Just the flag.
All right, man. What's your score prediction tonight?
I'm going to say 35-21 Chiefs.
Let's go, baby. Right. Thanks for the call, Matthew.
I like the 35.
We go to Tony. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's Red Friday, baby. Bonner Springs is out of flags at 6:12, but I got two McGriddles and a hash brown. Go Chiefs!
Let's go,
yeah,
Tony. That's what we need.
I told you they would be out of flags
Let's
already.
Go. In 12 minutes, Bonner Springs, baby.
Yeah. Bonner Springs is the leader in the clubhouse. Who wants to be Bonner Springs? Who else is sold out of flags? Let's go.
Two McGriddles and a hash. How you doing,
that,
Tony?
That's a meal right there
that's
for
a
Tony,
hell of a
right?
Sandwich.
Yeah. I know that I'm hard.
For
some people,
it.
That's a snack.
Well,
yeah.
Bonner Springs stands up, baby.
Bonner Springs, baby. Let's go.
Turn that damn thing into Bonner Springs. There's Dan Patrick on how he's mad about it being in Brazil.
The fact that the Chargers and Chiefs, a divisional rivalry game, is going to be played in Brazil is malpractice. I mean, that's terrible. Because that should be played in Los Angeles. Or if it was going to be played in Kansas City. This is a divisional game. And I don't think the fans in Brazil are going to go, hey, we better get an opening game. We better get a week one game. They should have these games, and I'm fine with games, you know, if you want them to have in London and Germany and Ireland. I'm not anti-international. What I am anti is a divisional game we're going to export, and it's week one. You can't do that to the Chiefs and the Charger fans. This
Charger
week
fans.
Seven, and then you have a bye week. If you want to do it that way, then I think it's fair to all involved. I don't like having opening day in Japan. I understand that, you know, or Korea. I understand you want to, hey, this is something different. It's still, it's our game. You can still have games there, but let's not have opening day or their first week, their first game, a divisional game, and you're going to play it in Brazil.
Agree or disagree with Dan Patrick?
Yes and no. Okay. You know, like I think he's right about not wanting it to be the first game of the season, right? I understand that. However, comma, these guys that play in this game, one team traveled 13 hours via flight, one team traveled 12 hours, then both took two-hour bus rides to their hotels, and the travel and transportation is a disaster. We'll talk to Mitch Holthus about it coming up at about 7:20 this morning, because I think he's going to give us a really good insight about how bad and how long this travel was. So I understand what he's saying. Going to Europe is fine. 6-7 hour flight's not that big a deal. You know, if you're going from LA to New York, it's a 5 hour flight, right? So the travel is a little bit short, a little bit longer to go to Europe, but not like it was to go to Brazil. And to have somebody make that journey, I think during the middle of the regular season, even with a bye week afterwards, I think that's more malpractice than this, because you've been off all year long, right? You could have flown down there a week ago if you really wanted to get ahead of things, right? And got this whole thing jump-started down in Brazil. So if you're going to play anywhere outside of like Mexico, Canada, and Europe, it has to be the first game of the season. Like next year, when the Chiefs most likely are going to Australia, you can't have that in the middle of the season. That's a 20-hour flight, you know?
Then that's fine. Have it be Kansas City, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Or have it be Rams and
but also
Cowboys.
Too, like you have to look at these teams that are willing to give up the home games.
Sure.
And you look at the Chargers, they're giving up a home game, probably their biggest home game, but it's also always the one that's dominated the most by the opposition.
Sure.
And so they get that out of their stadium. And the NFL, again, trying to push this LA narrative, Chiefs fans taking over LA has never been a good narrative for the league to have LA succeed, you know?
Derek, where are you at? What's going on, man?
Hey, so just to preface, I'm running late to a golf tournament this morning with the police athletic lead.
Hell yeah.
A good friend of mine from Frontier Restoration. I live in Gardner. The line to the McDonald's in Gardner is about a mile long.
Let's
so
go.
I'm like, I can't make that. So I get to Olathe, go right in. I get my five flags. Let's go. It's Red Friday. Let's do this shit.
Damn.
How about Terry, baby? Let's go, Derek. Big D in the house.
I'll tell you what, man. He's ready.
I'm with you, Derek.
We were worried about Sean Smith.
Y'all thought I was going to cuss yesterday. Nope. Derek leads off with a banger there. We got a lead-off double
Derek.
From Bonner Springs, and Derek keeps the line moving from Gardner to Olathe to the golf tournament. Hit him straight. Have a good one out there, man. Just breathe, have fun, relax. Because you, sir, Derek, have got yourself one hell of a day.
Yeah, hell of a day.
Because I know
day.
How those golf tournaments go.
Oh, here they shout see, out he to ain't the seen
old,
the game.
Shout out to the old number fives, Brock and Watson. Yeah. They played in Watson, a golf tournament with me the other day.
You got
and we were getting after
it. Which, by the way, I need you to help me fill Jerry's golf tournament. So you got some foursomes that want to play on October 24th at Shamrock Hills, bmafoundation.org. Sign up your foursome now, okay? We got to get some foursomes in that. And so if you
when
guys,
is it?
October 24th.
Ooh, we're running out of time.
Well, it's yeah. It's
hey,
one
guys,
of those.
You want an excuse to play golf and have fun and meet the Godfather?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
all right.
October 20th. I mean, it's like 6 weeks away.
Okay.
So we got plenty of time for that.
Hell, I'll just get three listeners and be my teammate.
Well, you know, that's what we'll do. Maybe we'll do the show out there on that
Friday. And Bob will support our team.
And I'll be out there.
If we do the show that day, you guys should just stay the night. I live literally 7 minutes away from Shamrock Hills.
Oh, really? So we should probably do the show out there.
Just have a slumber party.
Yeah, I think we absolutely should.
Dude, why's your car a race bed? It's a really freaking cool race car.
Matt, why do you have bunk beds?
Yeah. Well, my roommates are here. Your roommates are your parents. Yeah, well, still.
So what?
No, yeah. So that sign me up, man. But yeah, shout out to the old number fives.
Yeah, and Friday golf tournaments are off the chain, too, because you know you're not going to work for the next couple of days. You got the Chiefs tonight. Over under a 50% of the people that play in that golf tournament today that see the entire Chiefs game tonight.
Well, what do you say? It's first responders.
Youth league. Yeah. Police athletic
hey,
league.
Hey, get my car. I'll pop the cherry top on. I'll get you home safe. Sounds good, officer. Me off. You know how fast you were going? I don't know, 60, 70 tops. Seven. You were going seven. And next time, don't pull over the middle of the highway. Shout out Tommy Boy. So in Brazil, going back to Dan Patrick's comments real quick before we get to Kling, I will say this. I don't like the fact that it's Chiefs-Chargers game one in Brazil.
I mean, last year was Eagles-Packers. Nobody talked about it.
It wasn't a rivalry game.
No, it wasn't.
Right? And so
I don't think anybody really knew it took place
right.
either.
Now, foreshadowing, last year the Eagles played in Brazil, and did they win?
Yeah, they did.
And then they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So whoever wins tonight will win the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to clean.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
We are now joined by a friend of ours, family member of ours, Josh Klinger, the sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs that will be Brazil's sideline. Are you excited, or do you think the players are more excited to be in Brazil?
I'm trying to judge if anybody's really going to be, because I think they want to play the first game, and there's a lot that goes into getting everybody overseas and the travel and what have you. I am curious to see what the after effect is, if there is one. Although, you know, the Chiefs have done this now a few times, and so they seemingly have, you know, their plan down, but this one feels like a little more, I guess, travel. I don't want to say issues necessarily, but just a long time to get between places, a long time to get there. You got the time difference. Chargers actually flew out a little bit earlier than the Chiefs did. So it's kind of they're treating it like a normal kind of in and out road trip, just leaving a little gap at either side. So I'm trying to treat it as normal as possible, but you know, would the Chiefs rather be playing in LA in front of, you know, a three-quarter packed Chiefs crowd? Probably.
You know, Josh, you mentioned the travel, and you know, it's no secret the Chiefs have already done a lot of traveling this preseason, back and forth to St. Joe, then out to Arizona, then up to Seattle, now to Brazil. I mean, for a team that's getting ready to start the season, they've already put a ton of airline miles on their bodies.
Yeah, not that, you know, people around the NFL want to hear, you know, their Chiefs gripes, right? But yeah, I think they felt like that they had maybe an extra trip that shouldn't have been made in the preseason, or at least shouldn't have been made back to the West Coast. And then you saw them basically kind of flip-flop their schedule for their playing time because of it. So yeah, they've had some issues. Obviously, they're also in the mode of we'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere. And Andy Riedel's just kind of roll with the punches. And like I said, they're trying to make this as normal a road trip as if it was going to LA, you know, minus the time difference, but it's far from that. And it's, you know, it's seemingly like, instead of, you know, Kansas City, where we joke that everything's 20 minutes away, it sounds like everything's like 2 hours away from wherever you're at in Brazil. So, you know, the league is getting theirs, I guess. And the Chiefs are doing them favors by playing anytime, anywhere, any network.
Talking to Josh Klinger, the sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. You can hear him Friday night with this game live in Brazil. Kling, I know that the preseason is for all the players to kind of get ramped up and everything like that, but I think you do a lot of work in the preseason, like where you're going to focus, where game one could line up. And I know Bob and I have both, during the preseason, just been watching 71 on the left side of the line. Obviously a focal point, but where also will your eyes be in this game watching this team ramp up for another season?
Well, I think it is both players on the left side, right? I think, you know, can Kingsley be the permanent replacement at guard, and is Josh Simmons getting the keys to the car, the absolute perfect move for a rookie, or is he going to go through some type of growing pains? Look, I think the leash is going to be long really on both of them. Certainly Simmons, who's been given, hey, left tackle's yours and they haven't looked back, is going to be given every opportunity. Kingsley, I think they would like to give him a longer leash this year than they did a year ago. But he's going to have to earn it as well. Look, if Patrick Mahomes is under heat and it's coming from the left side, they're not going to hesitate to make, you know, moves to keep the rest of the team chugging along. But if those two play well, then I think you're off and running. Like, everything else is kind of gravy. Okay, you figure everything else is pretty set. I like the wide receiver group. I think the pass catchers are solid. I think they have enough in the running back room to make it a combination that will be effective. And you give me the left side of that offensive line to go along with the three high paid, you know, middle and right side guys. This offense anyway should be in great shape. Obviously no Rashee Rice to start the year, but You know, they played without him before and have been successful. Xavier Worthy's taken on more and more with each and every passing day, and certainly did at the end of last season and proved he can handle it. So I think offensively, you know, hopefully we see a little bit more of what we saw in the preseason game, because guys, those guys were pretty jacked with how they played against the Bears for their very few drives of the preseason. And that was a team that was pretty amped up after that thing was done. So hopefully that momentum carries into at least game one.
You know, Josh, there's a couple of different angles you can go with there. We could talk about the wide receivers and not having Rice, but we've been there, done that before, and they did just fine, you know, without him. Obviously you want him, but that offensive line, you mentioned the right side and how much they're getting paid. Like, you know, we were talking about it the other day. There's no more excuses now for the offensive line. Like, those guys have to be legit this year. And I'm talking 1 through 5, not just the left side of that line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about, you know, very high paid contracts to a center and a right guard, and then a right tackle who obviously they did overpay for to get in the first place. So a lot has been doled out. So I think a lot should be asked, right? This unit should be, I think, better down near the goal line than they have been. I would love to see them, you know, figure out a way just to move people at the line of scrimmage a little bit better. I think in the past, game, they're going to be all just fine. I'd like to see them get a little bit nastier, especially down near the goal line, and be able to do some things to move people around and not have to get what some would call gimmicky at times, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs love to run. They love to run stuff down near the goal line with some flair, but I would like them not to have to do that, right? So if they're able to move people off the ball, that would go a long, long way. You mentioned, you know, no Rice. Also, Hollywood Brown, I mean, who knows? Yeah. Like who knows what he's going to give you, right? But they've also done that before too. So I think that they, you know, they have a number of different options they can go to, even if, you know, Hollywood Brown probably won't be 100% to start the year. Right. Juju Smith-Schuster seemingly has found his new life or system rather probably that fits him the best. You know, the Jason Brownlee and Tyquan Thornton were kind of camp stars. Can those translate into the regular season? We'll see. I think they're going to get some opportunities to try to make some plays. Certainly, could be down near the goal line if they're not running it in, but I think they do have enough, you know, pieces offensively to make this thing fun. And then, yeah, I think the questions, the doubt never hurts. Like, keep fueling that fire of, well, can they be the offense they were, blah, blah, blah. I think that this offense would love to make a few statements this season.
No doubt about it. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't take one of your original takes from so many years of doing what you did here in the mornings. But Isaiah Pacheco kind of seems like a guy this year. And I know we know the Chiefs. We can ask them to run the ball, Kling. They're not going to run the ball. I know that. But with a revamped offensive line, a contract year, and a guy who seemingly what I would say is hungry to kind of prove a point, where do we see Isaiah Pacheco in this game, or where do we see him kind of this year as the featured back, you could say, in this offense?
Well, assuming he stays healthy, and that's the question, right? He hasn't been perfectly healthy throughout his tenure. Yeah, this is a contract year for him. I think he's probably smart enough to know that a multi-year deal is probably not coming from the Chiefs, right? So you're playing for somebody else, or you're, you know, maybe playing for a one-year return with the Chiefs. I feel like that's like the most, like the easiest scenario, right? He goes and plays really, really well. Some other team decides to give him a 3-year deal, or he comes back to the Chiefs on a 1-year deal when he doesn't get that deal. Like, just go out and bust it and see where your numbers end up being. But yeah, I think he's a guy that obviously could benefit from being a little bit better down near the goal line as well. We'll see if he gets those opportunities or if that's where Kareem Hunt has his little niche, is down near the goal line. But Pacheco certainly is going to run hard. He's going to put his head down. He's going to go. He's going to give it everything he's got. And I think, you know, from a Chiefs perspective, him being in a contract year is probably not the worst thing in the world.
No, not at all. And look, we were talking, Josh, since the day he was drafted. Enjoy your 4 years here, because you're probably not going to get more after that, right? I mean, that's just the cycle of life with running backs. That's nothing negative against him.
No, and yeah, we lamented several years ago. It's like, it's going to be sad. He's going to play really, really well and never get paid.
Right.
Because running back are just that mode. And so I think if you're him, you just have to go and try to post the biggest number you can. And so I think, yeah, he's going to be a guy that's awfully hungry. I think they're going to want to establish a run game as well, and the combination thereof, and figure out exactly. I mean, Pacheco might have a huge opportunity too if they don't fill some of those other kind of niche things. Maybe he finds his way onto the field in different scenarios than he's been in before, and maybe markets himself as a little more of an all-around guy. So I think I think sky's the limit for Pacheco to kind of market himself to the benefit of this year's Chiefs and market himself to his benefit long term.
Kling, I want to ask you this as well, because I think one of the stories that doesn't get talked about a lot is the safety room or maybe the secondary. I know we know McDuffie's there, but Jaden Hicks, Brian Cook, those kind of guys, they're taking over for Justin Reed, who took over for Tyrann Mathieu. Jaden Hicks in his second year, Brian Cook, obviously drafted in that wonderful class back in the day in 2022 or 23. Where do you see this secondary this year? Is there any concern, or is it just one of those things where, well, it's Spags, it's Veach, they know how to do it every year, no need to worry about it?
I wouldn't say necessarily concern, but I am interested to see what the matchups are going to be and who's going to be out there when and how they're going to do it. It seems that not that corner and safety for them have become interchangeable, but they have a few guys that they've kind of tried at different positions. So how exactly is that going to shake out? We haven't really seen much of Christian Fulton, who I think that, you know, people were hoping would be a little more contributor in the secondary as well. Jaden Hicks kind of coming into his own. Brian Cook, I think you remember last year, right? Brian Cook seemingly kind of got some minutes taken from him by Jaden Hicks, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that was like a firm spot for him. I think they like Chimari Connor. He's a guy that can move around as well at a safety slash corner position. So I'll be interested to see the combinations. You know, can they just put three or four out there? We don't really know. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, they're interchangeable. That would be, you know, kind of the hope. They go to five defensive backs and, like, just give me any combination of some of these guys and make it work, as long as you have, you know, McDuffie out there and hopefully a healthy Jalen Watson. That seems to be that they could be the case. I mean, they're deep on paper, right? I mean, they have like eight guys that can all kind of play. So if seemingly that's enough, knock on wood, for the right now. But can they guard people like the crossing routes and the gaps and some of those things that seemingly were an Achilles heel last year, guys, remains to me to be seen. I'd love to see this defense be a little tighter, maybe 20-20. They were very good at limiting damage when they got down near the goal line. I'd love to see this defense kind of compress things in the middle of the field. And obviously, create some more turnovers this year than they did a year ago.
Well, Josh, I got the Chiefs 35-0, 17-0 going into this season. What say you?
We didn't even mention Travis Kelce either.
Oh.
I mean, can you believe that? We didn't even talk about Travis Kelce. You got it, right? I think he's gonna have a great year.
I think he is too. I think it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait.
I don't know that he's gonna make 97 receptions, but I think he's gonna make some big plays, and he's gonna look the part, and he's gonna try to give it everything he's got. If this is indeed the swan song, so I have like no concerns about, oh my gosh, he looks old and slow, because there's been nothing that we've seen in the preseason that would indicate that that's the case. I think he's gonna have a great year. So you have them going unbeaten 35-0 every game?
That's right, yes. Yep, 35-0 against the Chargers, 17-0, winning the Super Bowl, 20-0, beating whatever NFC team decides to show up this year, 35-0 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think the early part of the schedule is a little bit difficult, but, you know, I know how they cook at the end of the year. So even if they get off to, like, a questionable start where the national pundits are already handing the division to somebody else, I think they'll come with the house of fire, like the tail end of that schedule, and just kind of run through it. And oh, by the way, the Chiefs are, you know, vying for the number one seed, and they have won the AFC West again. So mm-hmm. I think it's foolish to pick against them until proven otherwise, but we know plenty of people are indeed willing to be foolish and pick against them, say with the Chargers.
Well, Kling, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we'll have tons of conversations on Monday about how bad the field condition was, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
let's hope that's not the case. Like, I feel like we've had too many of those in Chiefs recent history, a lot of turf talk. We're all experts on turf, and we shouldn't be.
No doubt. Well, Kling, we appreciate it. Have a good call on the game on the Friday night game of the week of the year to start off the NFL season. We appreciate the time, Mr. Josh Klinger, the sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks.
That is Josh Klinger, the sideline reporter for the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Cut
him off like you did Ned.
I do, man. Lord. It happens all the time. We got a quick trigger. I'm sorry.
BBL stinky.
That's funny you play that, because we might have a BBL stinky take. Bob said yesterday, he was on his high horse. He goes, there's not going to be anyone, I don't think, that can dethrone Dan Orlovsky's take. Well, It took 30 minutes. We'll dive into that next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
BBL stinky.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Friday, Red Friday, first Red Friday of the year. It is a Chiefs Kingdom flag Friday.
Let's get that face in the right direction. It's upside down.
What'd you say about an erection?
No, I said face the right direction.
I know that I'm hard.
Heard that, sorry.
There we go.
Pretty excited about today. So is Kim, where the flags are selling hotter than the hash browns.
And hotter than the hotcakes at McDonald's.
Kim, where are you at? Tell us your story.
The McDonald's off a 50 highway on the east side of Lee Summit.
Let's
when
go.
I went through about 15 minutes ago, the line wasn't too bad. Got through really quickly. Got myself a little bacon, egg, and cheese bagel meal and my three-year-old some pancakes.
You got to get that steak, egg, and cheese bagel. We fought for that for years, Kim.
I fought for the bacon, egg because I don't like the steak and onions. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Do you?
But after I dropped off my three-year-old, not very close by, and drove past the McDonald's again, the line was around the corner of the stoplight, and starting to cause problems at the 50 highway exit.
Nice.
Because that's what Lee Summit people do. We cause problems, Kim. That's how we roll. Thanks for the phone call, Kim. What do you think the score is going to be tonight?
I think it's going to be 28-24 Chiefs.
Let's go, Kim. Do it for us here. Wasn't a line, then everybody woke up and said, oh, shoot,
I
got to get a flag.
I got to get a flag, yeah.
Love the order, Kim. Got her kids some pancakes.
Big breakfast, man, in the styrofoam container with the pancakes, the hotcakes, the butter that's frozen.
From hotcakes to hot takes.
A few of them. I think there's less than what you think. I think John Elway was a generational talent. I think Patrick Mahomes is a generational talent. I don't think Tom Brady, I don't think Drew Brees, I don't think Peyton Manning are generational talents. I think Andrew Luck ended up being a generational talent.
What?
I don't think there's a ton of them out there.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the modern day Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
That was literally divided within 30 minutes. And Bob said, we'll have a new topic. Who can top Dan Orlovsky's bad take? Will we get there?
Will we get there? I didn't think we'd have a take.
And
that
the
could
guy
top
that sits directly to his left, who was one of the guys who dropped the pin on the Jalen Hurts, Bill Belichick, they must have had themselves a meeting. Tom Brady's not a generational talent.
What's happened to Ryan?
Is it because he doesn't run and doesn't throw sideways? Is that what he's trying to emphasize?
Yeah, I think that's
Tom Brady
where he's
is
going.
The single greatest winner in American professional team sports.
And Andrew Luck's a generational talent.
Andrew Luck quit on his team.
Well,
he did. No, he did. Say what you want for the right reasons, but he still quit on his team before the start of the season.
He was just done after every single season having a surgery and a rehab.
I don't blame him, but there's better ways to go about doing that than the eve of the game. A little heads up
would have been nice.
Would have been nice. For sure. You know, that wasn't something that just propped up on you, right?
He's trying to do the most skilled quarterback thing, like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes are the most skilled. That's what he's trying to do, and it's not coming across the right way. It's coming
stupid.
Across like you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I would say that Tom Brady, depends on which generation you want Tom Brady to be in, early 2000s, mid-2000s.
Late 2000s.
Right, 2020s.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning was generational, right, with the way that he orchestrated the game inside and outside the huddle. They changed Madden for Peyton Manning. They had QB Vision one year.
Yeah, that's
and then
right.
Every time you'd play Madden, you'd play Peyton Manning. It was always annoying because he'd do the whole, like, check, 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 Eagle right, Eagle. We say Omaha because of Peyton Manning.
I mean, there's a whole production company that is putting together great things called Omaha Productions. Because of Peyton Manning. See, this is the problem, man. I mean, Ryan Clark used to be good. Ryan Clark is now terrible. And that's what I said yesterday. Booze, weed, and ESPN. Three things that effectively kill brain cells, right? Yeah. And you listen to these guys on ESPN, and you wonder if they've ever watched a football game in their life. Like, I really question whether or not Ryan Clark's ever watched a game after having that take. I question whether Dan Orlovsky, who always looks tired on set, I wonder if he's ever watched a full NFL game. Because if you did, you're not making those statements like that. So did that top Dan Orlovsky, or is that like neck and neck in the clubhouse with 1A and 1B? Because I still think the Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts being the best coach quarterback combination since Belichick is still the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, that's the cherry on top of the cake. Ryan Clark's the frost.
Oh, there's no doubt. Like Ryan Clark's like, hold my beer. Orlovsky's like, nah, I still got this one, but yours is pretty damn close.
Hold my pin that I just threw down on your take, and you can throw it down again.
Here's an NA beer for you. But like, unbelievably just bad, unthoughtful, uneducated takes on ESPN yesterday within a matter of 30 minutes of each other on the same show.
Let me tell you something, Dust Man. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy week one matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 change a month, $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It's not yesterday. It is today when this game starts. Tom Pelissero has some insight on what was last night's spitting incident and Jalen Carter's suspension. Plus, we dive more into Chiefs Kingdom Red Friday, McDonald's Flag Friday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's today.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karloftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.